Dating that, because that's something on my mind, and life is definitely a big
So does the question was asked, does one have to fit in the specific category when dating? So I'll share with you what happened with me. I was in Merkaz Arav with a black yarmulke. So I was set up with girls, and they'd come to the date and see the black yarmulke and say, "You're from Merkaz Arav?" I'd say, "Yes." They'd look at the black yarmulke, they'd think twice. And sometimes I saw the date was over there. And people came to me and said, "You know, you got to choose. If you're in Merkaz Arav, you got to put on a knitted yarmulke because the girls are getting scared off by your black yarmulke." And I found out that girls who were being offered a guy with a black yarmulke didn't want a guy in Merkaz Arav, and girls who wanted a guy in Merkaz Arav didn't want a guy with a black yarmulke. So, you know, I didn't fit into their little mold. And then people would ask me, "Are you Datilumi? Are you Tzioni?" So I'd say, I say, just like you before benching, Shir Malos, es Shivas Tzion, Einu Kecholmim. David HaMelech was Tzioni. What do you mean, am I Tzioni? I say it just like David HaMelech said it. And they'd say, no, that's not what I mean. And I'd say, I'm a student of Rabbi Feinstein. I don't fit into a mold. Rabbi Feinstein didn't fit into this mold or that mold. He tried to be straight with halacha, and when you're straight with halacha, then you don't fit into a specific movement. So I spent a few years doing that and not having dates or being mixed. And finally, after years of seeing that it's not working, so I said, "Okay, you can't win them, join them. What am I going to do?" So I put on a knitted yarmulke. And for about 6 months, I was in Merkaz Arav with a knitted yarmulke. And lo and behold, people came over to me. Suddenly, people who weren't friendly with me before were very friendly with me. Suddenly, people said to me, "I'm so happy you finally became pro the government and pro the army." And I'm like, I didn't say anything. I never said anything against. I never said anything for. Like, how'd that happen? Everyone suddenly assumes my. They assume my opinion was this way beforehand, and they never spoke to me. And now they assumed I've jumped on board, and they haven't spoken to me now either. And it floored me how people judge me by the kippah. However my kippah was, I was being judged. And no one bothered asking me. It's like an assumption. This is what you wear, this is what you believe. So you could be in Merkaz Arav, and I was a decade in Merkaz Arav, over a decade. But everyone's assuming, yeah, you're there with your black kippah, so you're like this. So I won't go through the whole story. I mean, but at the end of the day, people do judge us whether we like it or not by what we wear. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's intelligent, but I don't think we have a choice.
But the rabbi said that you're supposed to look like a Jew from across the street. You're supposed to not dress like a goy. The goy wears black shoelaces, we're supposed to wear white shoelaces. That's what it says.
I think it says it a little different than that.
It is a statement that, you know,
dressing Jewish means dressing modest. We don't say because they wear pants we should wear skirts, right? So there's,
you know, like Rabbi Obadiah said that, you know, a proper kippah you receive from 360 degrees.
Now, Rabbi Feinstein said that a kippah the size of a bottle cap is also a kippah because it has the halacha of a garment, so it's a garment even the size of a bottle cap. So I'm not recommending you wear a kippah the size of a bottle cap. I'm just saying, you know, there are opinions both ways.
Whose side you're on?
Maybe. I don't know. I teach at Machon Meir, and people walk in here with anything and everything you could imagine. And I don't judge anyone. That wasn't aimed at you, Dan. I mean, I don't judge people by what they wear, and I'll tell you the truth. I think that Chazal were against it too. Chazal tell us a story that there were once people walking by the beach, and there was a man, a Roman, running around naked on the beach, and they started making fun of him. And one of the rabbis walked by and said, "What are you making fun of him?" the guy was hiding behind the rock, and everyone was standing around laughing. And the rabbi said, "What are you guys laughing at?" And they said, "There's a naked Roman behind the rock." Now, the Romans weren't our friends at that time. They were persecuting us. And the rabbi said, "If there's a naked Roman, let's get him clothing." And he went to get him clothing. And the poor man said, "I was shipwrecked, and that's how I landed on this beach naked. And woe to you Jews for making fun of me, because I'm standing here naked." And a short time later, that man became the Caesar. And you could imagine what he decided to do to the Jews, because they had all laughed at him standing there naked on the beach. And you know why we were saved? Because that rabbi cared for him. And that rabbi came to him and said, "They were wrong, but remember me, I was right." And he said, "Fine, you know what, I do remember you." And the story isn't so simple, because the rabbi was sent as an emissary to plead on behalf of the Jews, and when he came there, the Roman remembered him. It wasn't really so overt that this was the rabbi and this was the Roman. The rabbi didn't really recognize him, and the Roman recognized the rabbi, and that we were saved at that time. And there are many stories that way, where Chazal didn't really approve that we should just judge a person because of how he looks. At the end of the day, people do. So if you're saying, should a person join or not join, in theory, I don't think the Torah is about this group or that group. Quite the contrary. The Torah is about the truth. And every group has aspects where they're right, and every group has aspects where, mitzvah, they'll be right. But they still have to work on it. Ideally, a person should be able to dance between the raindrops and get what's right. Practically, here in Israel, that doesn't necessarily work so easily. There are girls out there that are just like you. The shadchanim don't necessarily recognize them. When a guy like me shows up to a shadchan, so they say, "Are you dati lumi or charedi?" And I say, "I'm Jewish." And they say, "Yeah, well, which one are you?" And I say, "I like them both. I have friends in both. I've learned in both. And I admire both." And they say, "Ah, so you're confused." Okay, when you get your facts straight, then we'll set you up. No, there are a lot of small-minded shadchanim out there, and I don't know of any or many big-minded shadchanim who are willing to accept you the way you are and accept that there are people who don't fit the mold. I would like to think there are some out there who are broader-minded than that. I haven't yet met them. I've met what I'm describing. So then you have to be practical, and you have to ask yourself, okay, what are the major points, and where do I stand on those points? And then you don't have much of a choice but to let people define you. If you're going to work with the system, it shouldn't be this way, but this is the system. And then you have to think. I don't know where you stand on issues. And later on in life, you also have to think, because I don't know of an educational institution that will work in the manner we're describing. Meaning, most educational institutions are either Dati Lumi or Haredi in this country. And that leads you to a point where you have to really think what's important and what are each one going to stress and which location you're going to live in. And even though in your own home you could show your children that you respect everyone and you value everyone, at the end of the day you will have to choose a certain path for your home simply because that's what's out there. And when you're choosing an educational institution and you're choosing a community to live in, you will have to make a choice. Who do you want your kids to play with? So I have my kids play with everyone, with the Tilumi neighbors and the Haredi neighbors. And Baruch Hashem, so far, we all get along. But I did have to choose which school I'm sending them to. And at that point, there was a lot of deliberation. And each person has to do a lot of research in the location he's in. What are the pros and cons of each group? It's not about ideals. It's about being realistic. You live in certain areas. The Dati Lumi is very, very weak religiously. And the Haredi might also be very weak religiously. Each locale has, there you'll have to decide. If you're somewhere in the middle, so then you will have to make a decision when it comes to your children's education. And I think that when you're dating, what's key is to discuss with the girl, what are your priorities? What's important to us? Because if you're not sure which way you're going to go, depending on where you live, you need a spouse that's going to go with you. Right? I mean, you don't want to marry a girl who, and you're going to come to a location and you're going to say, we got to send to the Hasidish cheder here because they're the ones that are going to teach him Ahavat Torah and Yirat Shamayim and everything. And she says, Hasidish? No way. What about, I didn't marry you to be Hasidish? No way. We're sending him to the Tilumi. And you tell her, but the food there isn't kosher. I mean, she says, yeah, but they wear kippah sugah. What do you mean? I'm not sending him to a place where everyone has taste. I'm quoting two conversations that I've heard. So you have to discuss your priorities. And I think there are a lot of girls out there that are just like you. I just don't know of shadchanim that will help you get set up with him. I mean, I've encountered many girls the way you're describing. We've set up girls like that. But being that I'm at Machon Meir every night till close to midnight, my office has been closed. I mean, I don't deal in shidduchim like I once did, simply because I have no time to talk to anyone. I'm with you guys. So I don't know. I don't know who to refer you to. And in a less than ideal world, you have to match yourself to the world. You can't stand preaching your ideals. You've got to get married. So then you got to think what's important and how to fit into it. And I did the same thing. I'm not telling you to do something I didn't do. Okay, yeah.